Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A lot of times you hear people talk about the Christian life. Well, just what is the Christian life? Well, let's begin our study by reading from Romans chapter 1. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now this verse, alongside many others, asserts that, among other things, salvation is conditional. Here the condition is, of course, one that believeth. And again, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 said, For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we're familiar with the passage in Romans chapter 3, chapter 6 and verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Friend, we learn that salvation is a gift. It's a gift given by God to man when man meets certain conditions. That these conditions need only be stated here for our lesson. One must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and repent of his sins, confess his faith in Christ and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. But now, thereafter, he is to live a faithful life as a Christian. He is to live the Christian life. But now, what is the Christian life? How can we know if he is living the Christian life if he doesn't know what that life involves? Obviously, we must not only know what to do to become a Christian, but we must learn what it means to be a Christian and to do the things that the Lord demands of the Christian. Now, when we rightly understand the religion of Christ and the Christian way, we will understand that it is a way of living. We live according to a certain pattern, following a certain standard. It is not only the way that leads to heaven, and that's the greatest, of course, of its benefits, but it governs the manner of everyday living. It governs one's outlook on his own life here and now, including his attitudes, his actions, his words, his deeds, his thoughts, his ambitions, his goals, the way he treats other people. You see, the Christian life involves every phase of life. It involves every relationship. It occupies the entire person, his entire time. There is never a moment when the Christian can forget he is a Christian, and he should act accordingly. Now, we want to make a few general observations regarding the Christian life at the beginning of the lesson. And then we want to concentrate the rest of the time and tomorrow on a few specifics. Although many have chosen to reject the Christian life, friend, it is the best way of life that one can live. The world would be better off if people would live the Christian life. Now, this is not only because the Lord has proclaimed it so, but he exemplified it in his own life. But it is also attested to by the thousands of people who strive to live the Christian life. It is, as Paul described, the more excellent way. And it is a different way. It's different from the way that most people live. If different from what a man would live to if he was just left to himself. It's different from the way of life that one may have lived before he became a Christian. It's different from the way people live who are in the sinful world. Those who are Christians, you see, have separated themselves from the wickedness of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and they have become what Paul called a peculiar people, Titus 2:14. And while most would live in sin for self and for Satan, that's not the way the Christian lives his life. The Christian life is not worthy simply because it's different, however, but it's different because it is worthy. But now, to be sure, The Christian life is a costly life. You see, we don't belong to ourselves. We have been bought with a price. And Paul, in Luke 14 and 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be among you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You see, the Christian life is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him. And that means we must sacrifice ourselves to his will. In Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Why, that simply means we no longer live according to our own will. We live in harmony with the will of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that all things of value have great cost, and walking with Christ is not always the smooth and easy path of life. It's often quite difficult. It is very demanding. But in the long run, after all is taken into account, the cost involved in living the Christian life cannot be compared with the rewards that will be received. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He told the Roman brethren in Romans 8 and verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Now we see these general observations before us. The Christian life is a life that follows after Christ. It's a life that's different from the sinful world. It's a life that has its cost, and it faces difficulties. But the Christian life, you see, is a life of faith. We believe in God, and we do that because the evidence is just too convincing to think otherwise. We're not blind, we're not naive. We investigated the evidence. We draw the only conclusion that the evidence will allow. Therefore, we trust him. We have confidence in his word. We're assured of his power. We're given a hope by his promises. We live with a trust that what he says he will do. He is faithful to his word, and his will is eternally true. Now, we may be at times beset with certain trials and problems and maybe even dangers. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Paul warns. But we are confident that the ultimate victory over all of that which would destroy us will be ours because of Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." This simply means that what God has worked, he has worked certain things that will be for the good of those who heed his call. And that comes by the gospel, of course, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And we read in 1 Corinthians 10, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Sometimes you hear that passage of Scripture quoted as if it would apply to just everybody, that God is going to provide a way of escape for everybody for all the problems that they face. Friend, that's not a promise to everybody. That's a promise that belongs to the Christian. The Christian life is lived with the assurance that there is just simply nothing that will happen this day that God and I together cannot handle. What a glorious promise, even here and now, that is. We can face each day with a confidence and with a certain degree of optimism. We have a hope and a vigor. Hardship need not lessen our faith, but we only emphasize our need for God when we have problems, our dependence upon God, and serve as an opportunity to endure and to be blessed. We walk by faith. That's what the Christian life is. We don't walk by sight. We're confident that He cares for us, that He's mindful of us. He will overrule all things for what He sees is best for us, both here and forever. The Christian life is a life of faith in God. But it's also a life of worship. Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. No person can be a faithful Christian who does not worship God. Worship is a rich and blessed privilege as well as a Christian duty. And Christians never shun the opportunity to worship their Father. They seek the occasions for worship. They never look upon worship as something that they have to do. It's something that they get to do. And God has authorized how His children are to worship Him, and He has revealed that way in His Word. It's not left up to man to decide how to worship God. God has told us how to worship Him. Man cannot honor God without honoring His Word and confining himself to "Thus saith the Lord." Christians worship God through prayer, through the giving of their means, singing songs of praise, partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and teaching His Word. This is what the early church did. This is what members of the Lord's church do today. So vital is the worship of God that God has designated the day, the first day of the week, when Christians are to assemble for just such purposes. And these assemblies are not to be forsaken, Hebrews 10:25. Friend, do you realize that to deliberately absent yourself from periods of worship is to deliberately ignore a sacred Christian action in living the Christian life? Yes, the Christian life is one of self-denial. It's one of service. It's one of joy, and means putting Jesus first and others second and yourself third. It's doing to others what you would like for them to do to you. It's being useful and helpful to those who are less fortunate. It requires the one to be a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. Putting others first, seeking their welfare, their happiness, their salvation. What is the best for others? That's the way the Christian lives his life. Yes, it's a life of cost. It's a life that's different. It's a life that sometimes has hardship. But it's a life of faith, and it's a life of worship. And there are other things that we learn that characterizes the Christian life. I want to bring these to our attention in our lesson tomorrow. I hope that you'll be with us, because it's so important not only to become a Christian, but having become a Christian, we're supposed to live according to what we have become. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.